This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak. He taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Currency of holiness. Our psalm asks a question this morning: who gets to come in? David is writing some liturgy, some worship music, talking about entering into the tent, which is the holy place of God. For in that day, there was no temple, no building to house the holiness of God. It was a God that was on the move. God had just moved to Mount Zion and was being worshipped in the tabernacle there, a grand tent on a holy hill. And upon entering into that space, these words from the psalm were spoken, much like we began our worship with the thanksgiving for baptism, with a back and forth, or at times with a confession and forgiveness. This was sort of an opening liturgy moment. And it opens with a question: who gets to come in? Who deserves to enter into the holiness of God? Well, then it begins to talk, and it goes through, and it's not necessarily who you would think at first. It's not the people that have given the most or the people that have followed all of the various ritual practices. It's those who cared and loved their neighbors. That's how it goes on to describe those who walk blamelessly, those who do what is right, those who speak truth from their heart. It's those who respond to those around them with love. For the currency of holiness is love. And we don't always think about that, think about who's holy, who gets to be holy. Who do we call holy? Is it the person who's in church every week? Is it the person who shovels their neighbor's driveway when the snow is 3 feet high? Is it the pastor who gets multiple hands of other pastors and bishops and former bishops and all sorts of people laid on him? Is it the child who sings in the children's choir? Who is it that is holy? What is our measure of holiness? There's a short film that was released recently and has been nominated for an Academy Award and its best live-action short film. You can watch it on Disney Plus. It's called Le Pupille. It's a weird, quirky little show, a little movie about some girls in a boarding school, a Catholic boarding school, during the Great War. And they are there, orphaned, being cared for, and it is Christmas. As the story goes on, a woman comes to the gate of the orphanage where the girls are just making their beds. She's dressed nice, but the gates are locked, and she can't get in. And the nuns, they don't go and answer the gate. They're not interested in visitors. They're preparing for what they have to do tonight to put on a little Christmas pageant to receive donations for the orphanage. But the woman won't be dissuaded. She wrangles at the gates, and then she calls out to the girls. Girls, girls, little girls! Girls, can you hear me? Girls, I need your help. I need your sweet, innocent prayers. Will you pray for my man? He's in war. Here's a picture of him. Can you see him? Isn't he handsome? You're so young and innocent. Your prayers will have more weight. The girls look out at this curious woman and kind of notice her, and then the nun comes in and shoos them away from the window and tells the woman to go away and come back tonight, and they go about getting ready for the evening. It's practice, as they practice a song, and they practice getting their costumes on, and then before you know it, it's Christmas Eve at midnight, and the girls are there outside, dressed as angels, sort of propped up on this grand stage, looking down in this sort of human tableau of blessing. People are able to come in and make an offering and have the sweet, innocent prayers of these innocent, pure girls be for them. Someone comes and brings a bottle of oil and says, "Pray for Mario." The nun shouts over her shoulder, "Mario!" And all the girls say, "Mario!" And a prayer is said. And then this woman comes back. The woman who needs the prayer so badly. She brings this delicious, enormous red cake. She says, little girls, it's Christmas Eve. I need your prayers. I need you to pray. And they pray, and the cake is deposited, and then the show goes on. By the end of the night, they have a few coins, a bottle of oil, and this cake. And the holiness of these little girls praying for these people. But you begin to wonder at this point in the film, what really is holiness? What's the point of having these little girls pray? Because you've seen them acting out, and they're goofing off during their practice for all this. They're not the innocent, sweet, little, beautiful girls that we want to think of. They're just holy and shining and perfect and don't move and only speak what they're supposed to. They're real little girls, wild and mischievous and full of wonder at the world and full of bickering, too. Not being always nice to one another. You've seen that these aren't necessarily the most innocent girls in the world. But the one who is, the one who tries to get everything right, starts getting pointed at, set apart, made fun of, made the scapegoat for the others, and told she is wicked. The Christmas meal now. All the girls are there eating their pasta and their lunch, and then the cake comes out, and the head nun says, "Now you're all good, sweet little girls, and I know that you will be so sweet as to give up just your little share of this cake for Jesus." See, the nun wants to gift the cake to the bishop. She doesn't want the little girls to eat it. She wants to use it to advance her own needs. She's not sure what to do with it, after all. It's a strange gift. And all the little girls say, okay, we'll give up our cake, even though they've been hungering about it and dreaming about it ever since they saw it the night before. But that one girl who's been scapegoated, set aside, told she's wicked, she does not want to give up her cake. It's a delicious chocolate, cream-filled red cake. And these girls, it's a time of war. This delicacy is not something that they normally see. And she refuses to give it up. The cake is brought out. The nun sort of slams it down in front of her. And the girl goes to take a bite. And then she just takes a handful of the cake. And she looks at the nun, and then she throws it on the floor for the dog to eat. A little dog that's been kicked and beaten and skipped off to the side, a little dog to eat. And then the girl takes another handful before the nun is able to shush her away. And with that handful, the girl gives a little bit of cake to each of the others. In this act of communion and sharing, she wasn't ready to give up her cake. But what you find in the holiness of this moment, the holiness of her sharing this now stolen cake with her friends, fulfilling the needs that they have longed for ever since they saw it, is that the currency of holiness, it was never innocence at all. The currency of holiness is love. Love. Love to see the needs of those around her, and even though they've been mean to her, even though they've cast her aside, still to be willing to do something to offer it to them. Love for the little dog that got kicked away and scrawny and needs to be fed, and nobody will feed it. Love that just enjoys the delicacy of a little moment and enjoys the good things of life. Love is what blessing's all about. When Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted, blessed are you. Jesus is saying these blessings, giving these blessings from the mountaintop, not as the holy man who has been set apart by baptism and is so innocent. Yes, he is those things. But that's not really why he's holy. He's holy because all of these people who he's calling out now, naming in their circumstances and granting the blessings of God to, sharing his holiness with, are people that he loves, people who need love, people whose daily experiences of the world is not necessarily defined by love. That's what a blessing is, really. It's a sharing of love. A sharing of holiness. And what's the currency of holiness? Love. So as he speaks these blessings, as he speaks his love for them, he speaks what his desire is as well. And what he will dedicate his life to work for. The kingdom of heaven. Comfort. Cared for. Provided for. Mercy that's experienced, being able to see God, being able to be called children of God. These are the outlines of Jesus' mission. These are the things that Jesus is going to try and embody and to share his blessing. and ultimately, not just with these little groups, but with all of us. For all of us find ourselves in these moments of need. All of us find ourselves in days where things just don't quite add up, where the worries of our lives are too much, where the pain of the world is overwhelming, where it just doesn't feel like love. But it's in those times that we need to return to these words all the more and hear that blessing for you. I love you, Jesus says. My holiness is upon you. I bless you. Have some of that holiness. I'll share it. My holiness is love. Amen. Thank you.